GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
This is the George Hill Rick Tyler Show with the Spin Doctors on a Super Tuesday edition of the program. George, who is the Democratic operative who's so busy on Tuesday mornings, but he lends his time on the PDQ door telephone line to us?
Our good friend Sean Wadsworth. Good morning, Sean.
How are you doing, guys?
We are well, and are you well as well on line B? Brent Littlefield, the Republican, with ties to Win Maine.
Good morning. You know, I think MDI is beautiful every time of the year, like year-round, but I am kind of envisioning it right now in July and August. I'm sitting here thinking about myself on Mount Desert Island in July or August. It's making me happy.
Mm. John, you ever been to MDI? You ever been on Acadia?
I have not, although I am. It is on my list of places to hike.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Well, next time you get up here, the lobster and the clean air is on us. George will pay for the lobster, I'll pay for the clean air.
Right. Okay, gentlemen, Iowa and New Hampshire. Here's a question. I'll start with John, with you. Iowa and New Hampshire. New Hampshire's got one out of 300 Americans who live in New Hampshire. Why should we give a darn about what Iowa thinks or New Hampshire thinks? Isn't it time that we have a national primary?
You know, there's something to be said for a smaller state starting out the process, one that doesn't require a war chest by the time you showed up, one in which you can campaign your way by meeting voters and having smaller events and going face-to-face. That being said, the problem is that what had been originally viewed as an opening day is now being viewed as a playoff. And that's where the real problem is. We should not be eliminating all these candidates if they don't finish top two in Iowa or top two in New Hampshire. These should be starting points, not the whole ball game. And that's where the problem really is.
Brent, a national primary. People say it won't work, can't work. But last survey I saw, 62% of Americans think it would be a good idea. Do we really care what happens in New Hampshire?
Well, I think we need to care because that's where the campaign is taking place. I want everybody to listen to this. I'm absolutely going to agree with John Wadsworth. Do we have like a buzzer for that or something? Some kind of sound effect?
I'm picking myself up off the floor. Okay, there, go ahead.
So I absolutely agree with John. You know, there's something to be said for smaller states where people get to talk to candidates because, you know, you can see the Bloomberg effect right now, right? I mean, he's spending just vast, vast sums of money. He's a guy that made most of his money basically in the advertising and services business, but a large amount of it in advertising. And he's using the same medium that he made his money in to go out and put himself out there for president. And he's spending so much money, it's really almost impossible for other candidates to keep up. But what's going to be fascinating is if you have this situation where you have, I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but some pundits are predicting, you know, down the road, the other candidates can't keep up financially, and you end up with this Bernie Sanders-Mike Bloomberg fight. You're going to have one guy complaining the billionaires are taking over the world, and the other guy is the billionaire trying to take over the world. It just, you almost can't make it up. And I do think it's important to have smaller states where people can actually meet candidates. Some, you know, there's probably presidents throughout the history of this country who would never have been there if it hadn't been for these small states where people could meet them.
John, I want to go back to you. Love your analogy of how it used to be opening day, but now they're playing like it's the playoffs. But the politicians are not playing like it's opening day. They are playing like it's the playoffs because this campaign for president began, so many years ago.
Well, you know, that's very true. I mean, look, before 1976, nobody had given a second thought about Iowa. Iowa only started to matter because Jimmy Carter went there. And remember, Jimmy Carter did not win Iowa. He came in a distant second to uncommitted, but he was the only one to make it a thing. And that gave him this national boost that eventually led him forward. Of course, the candidates are going to keep going, but, you know, they're going earlier and earlier. They're lining up 2 years ahead of time. You know, we're running primaries in the summer. And I remember when I was in college, Bill Clinton's only primaries were in the winter, right before the New Hampshire primary. So, I'm sorry, the debates were in the summer. And so while the candidates are always going to be trying to get a leg up, we as voters and the media need to just dial it back and stop feeding that narrative. They're going to do what they're going to do, but there's only, you know, at any given time, 5, 10, 15 of them. We as voters and as a voting public have to be smarter than that. And we have to take a deep breath, let them go through the first two states. But then what happens in Nevada? What happens in South Carolina? What happens in Maine? What happens in Washington? What happens all over the country? Let it play out. And we need to stop eliminating people based on those first couple of states.
Brent, I'm going to toss to you, and I'm going to even further expand on what John has said. If the politicians were playing like it's opening day and not the playoffs, maybe we would find this more acceptable. But also, the media is not presenting, the 24-hour news cycles are not presenting the politicians as if it's opening day. They are presenting them as it would be the playoffs.
That's true. And look, we have to remember that media is a business. I know that's shocking to both you, Rick, and George, right? That media is a business. We do run radio ads on this program to help pay for the cost of the electricity and the lights and the heat to keep the station on the air. And, you know, it's harder for media, especially in the modern day, the way that they do these things, to keep that pace up. You know, they just don't have the budgets to be sending mobile newsrooms out to every single caucus and primary and have these big, expansive coverages. So I think part of it's driven by the budgets of the media companies that want to have these big contests at the beginning, and then they can settle back into their desks in New York City and kind of cover it from there. So I do think there's some economics at play.
John, only twice since the Iowa-New Hampshire thing really got going in the early 70s, have the Democrats chosen a nominee who did not win either. Is it possible that someone is going to be the nominee that doesn't win either Iowa, if we ever find out who really won, and New Hampshire today? Mm-hmm. Is it possible?
I think so, yes. And the reason being, one, this train wreck in the Iowa caucus voting reporting means that there was no momentum that came out of Iowa. In fact, everybody left Iowa and came to New Hampshire. There was no winnowing based on the caucuses. Secondly, because you have two neighboring candidates coming into New Hampshire, I think it will be very hard for someone to truly claim victory. The expectations for both Warren and Sanders will be very high, and I think they're going to split a lot of a similar vote. And I think people are waiting to see what's going to happen in Nevada and South Carolina, more so than in previous years, because they are waiting to see who can solidify the vote of the Latino and the African-American community to groups that are, you know, really not represented in the first two states, just based on demographics. So I think you see more Democrats are waiting, taking a wait-and-see approach because of those two, and because, you know, if Bernie Sanders finishes with 29% tonight, which is what he's at in the latest poll, people are going to say yes, but he's the neighbor, and I don't think he's going to get that surprise, shock, and awe of a push.
Brent, New Hampshire is this interesting state. Some people call it blue, some people say it's purple. It's a small state, but they're kind of funky voters. Trump lost it to Clinton by less than 3,000, and currently most pundits are saying it's leaning Democrat in 2020. You've covered New Hampshire. Why is it so quirky?
Well, what's happened in New Hampshire, unlike other places, is you have a huge outflow of people from Massachusetts that decided they want to move to New Hampshire. So if you go up Interstate 93 out of Boston, you head up towards the main part of New Hampshire, you have a lot of folks that settle right in that border, and they've changed the voting demographic in the state of New Hampshire. It was a purplish state, it's a little bit blue. It goes back and forth. Don't forget, though, there is a Republican governor, and Governor Sununu, Chris Sununu, is doing a great job. So, it's a purplish state, sort of like people declaring Maine be completely blue, completely red. Things kind of go back and forth. So it's going to be interesting to see how that state plays out at the end.
I'm going to stick with you, Brent, to start on this one, then go to John Wadsworth as we talk with the Spin Doctors on GHRT. And John, give you a moment to get a little bit closer to a window so we can best understand what you're saying on your cell phone. Brent, to you, and back to the point that we're still not really sure who was the clear winner in Iowa, but we know who the loser was, and that was that company Shadow that developed that app. Why would
these things are very, very difficult. what people need to realize when it comes to political technology, I'm going to let people behind the curtain just a little bit here, is that if you're a company like Microsoft or even Google or something like this, or even Salesforce, you're creating software, you've got, you know, billions of dollars behind that software. Case of, like, for instance, Microsoft, Microsoft Word, or even Apple products, you know, you've got millions and millions and millions of users of that software, so you're going to get feedback on what's good, what's bad, and you have to have a robust software. Even though this is a major thing as electing the president, if that software is only being used once or twice or three times a year, it's not going to have the same kind of testing, usability, and quite frankly, the same financing behind it of these other big software products and platforms out there. So that's part of the issue when you deal with politics, which is a smaller market, or some other type of business in America that's a smaller market. If it's unique and specialized, many, you know, dramatically smaller users in large software, it's not going to have the same robustness behind it. And I think we saw that with what happened in Iowa.
Something as important as Iowa, we may poo-poo it and say that maybe it's time for a nationwide primary, but John, this was important, and this was a serious fumble.
Oh, it was a massive fumble. This is a big screw-up. I think a lot of it falls on the Iowa Democratic Party trying to be 2 feet by half. You know, going with this, we're going to give you a first round and then a winnowing and see it instead of just sticking with what they've done in the past, which was, just show me who won. I think that was a real problem going forward with it. I also think that they just sort of jumped onto this shiny new tech, but nobody really ran long enough to run the proper testing to get this thing up and running. And they didn't have enough backup plans. They trusted their tech, but didn't have the proper backup. Adding to the fact that when folks were trying to call in, there were reports of lines being clogged by some internet trolls who thought it would be funny to continuously tile the Iowa Democratic Party hotline. And you can just see it was a recipe for disaster. We do know that Pete Buttigieg and Bernie Sanders came in well in advance of all the other candidates. We know where their placements are. I don't think 3/10 of a point should really change anybody's opinion of the finals. But it honestly, this is a failure of forethought.
All right, let's turn to Joe Biden for a minute, if I can. I'll ask John this question. At events, Biden seems to do well. He left New Hampshire one day, went back to Delaware. He seems to be losing ground among minority voters, and others are gaining. This could spell disaster for Joe Biden, wouldn't you think, if he can turn that around, John?
Yes. Joe Biden's firewall is Nevada and South Carolina, but we are now learning that there were a lot of problems with his campaign that were more significant than people had been led to believe. His showing in Iowa wasn't just that he came in fourth. His campaign had been rather lackluster. His performance in the primaries hadn't been great. Now, I think, again, we shouldn't rule it out, but he's got to show something, some kind of turnaround, some kind of boom to get people excited about him again. I do not think he's out of this by a long shot. I think that the muddled nature of this primary and the fact that there are still five major candidates in New Hampshire and Mike Bloomberg waiting on the other side means that he still has a ticket to those next two states. But we've got to see some movement after New Hampshire. I think you'll probably maybe get 10 to 15% in New Hampshire, blow it off, and then it's all Nevada, all South Carolina.
Brenda, quick answer to this one. The latest CNN UNH poll said that the New Hampshire Democratic voters think that Trump is likely to beat Biden, or Biden is down to about 22%. That's low in New England, isn't it?
It's very low. And look, there's a lot of malaise with Democrats in general that think all this could just be just theater, and at the end of the day, Donald Trump gets reelected. And I'll say they keep rolling out all these national polls showing Donald Trump behind. It's not about the national polls, it's about the states. And the campaign, the Trump campaign has a very robust infrastructure. and it's running hard out there. So in November is going to be a real barn burner.
Last super quick question, super quick answer. Brent Littlefield first. Which Democrat wins New Hampshire?
I think Bernie Sanders keeps it. He's from Vermont, and we'll see if people realize he's from next door nationwide, or he parlays that into a big national push.
John Wadsworth, which Democrat wins New Hampshire? Your prediction.
Bernie Sanders by number, but Pete Buttigieg in the expectation and momentum game.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.